that otherwise is merited and you know, righteous. Okay, mercy is someone has done something to deserve a punishment. They've committed a crime, or they've committed idolatry. They deserve a penalty or a punishment, but God withholds that punishment from them. That's mercy. And if we think about our own lives, brothers and sisters, think about all you've done where you have earned God's judgment. All have sinned, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the only way that we can be justified is to have the mercy of God displayed to us. He doesn't have to do that for us, but He chooses to, because He's a God of love and grace, and He delights in showing that to sinners. So God is not obligated to show anybody mercy. He doesn't have to, but He chooses to. And that should be a huge blessing and a huge reason to praise God this morning for all of us, as that God is a God of mercy, and He's chosen to give us mercy. However, it should be noted, though, that God will not relent forever. God will not relent forever. There is an appointed time where His judgment will no longer be restrained. That's the significance of the third vision. Okay? That's the significance of the third vision. Visions 1 and 2 show us that when God's people pray and seek Him, He will relent. He will be merciful. Even judgment by locusts and judgment by fire can be turned around and redeemed in a heartbeat. But there is a time where if somebody persists in sin, if somebody goes their whole life and doesn't repent of their sin, if somebody dies on this earth and hasn't trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God has a plumb line, and that line has been crossed because that person has not received the forgiveness and the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the blood that washes them clean from their sins. And God at that point gives them judgment. God at that point acts in justice, and they are getting at that point a sentence and a punishment that they deserve. Separation from God in hell forever. So there is an appointed time where His judgment will no longer be restrained, brothers and sisters. Okay? And that's the significance of the third vision. It says right at the end that God is setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. What does that mean? I will never again pass by them. Well, what he's talking about is when God relents, it's as if God passes by their sin. Okay? God chooses to forgive their sin. Alright? This idea of passing it by. Well, in the final vision, we see that never again is God going to pass by them. And what we see, brothers and sisters, is that in Jesus Christ, when someone is in Christ and they're covered in the blood of Jesus, when God's judgment comes upon that person, it passes by them and goes on to the next person. It reminds us, and it should, there should be a blinking light going off of us, of the Passover. Right? We know that story. In the Old Testament, okay, God's people are enslaved by the Egyptians, and the final judgment, the final plague, is going to be the death of the firstborn in every household in Egypt. And so God commands His people to sacrifice, kill an animal, and to take that blood and to wipe it on the doorposts and the door frame of the house, so that when the angel of death comes in Egypt, and whoever has that blood that's covered their doorstep and their posts and their frame, the angel of death does what? Passes over. Passes by that house and goes on to the next one. That's what's going on here. But yet God says, I'll never again pass by them. So it does show us that there is a point, an appointed time, where his judgment will not pacify people, will not be restrained. And that should be very sobering to us. Very, very sobering to us. So, in conclusion, what are four things that all of us should take away this weekend and try to apply in our life? Let's take a look at that. So, number one, brothers and sisters, excuse me, do not presume on the mercy of God. Get right with God today. Don't wait. Don't think that the mercy of God is going to be available anytime you want. And I don't need to repent of my sin, and I don't need to worry about that, and I'm just going to live my life, and as I get to the end, no, that's a wrong attitude to have. Because you don't know when the appointed time for you is. None of us know the time that we're going to leave this earth. None of us know the time that Jesus Christ is going to come back. Only the Father knows, Scripture says. And so we shouldn't presume on the mercy of God. We should be diligent to get right with God today. We should be all the more diligent to say, Lord God, my time on this earth is short. I want to be forgiven. I want to serve you. And I want to make sure I'm right with you. And I want to receive your mercy. And when you do, he will relent. He will relent. And he will display his grace. Will save you from your sin, from the devil, from this lost and broken world, and you will become his child. So get right with God today if you've not done that already. Number two, be like Amos and practice intercessory prayer for others in need. Be like Amos and practice intercessory prayers for others in need. God gives this word of judgment, verses 2 and verses 5. And the first thing, right, the first thing Amos does is begin to pray, begin to intercede, begin to petition for his people. He almost like just cries out, right? There's exclamation points on the first sentence of verse 2 and verse 5. Oh, Lord God, please forgive. He's like almost screaming out, crying out on behalf of God's people. I wonder if that's how you and I feel about our coworkers who are lost. I wonder if that's how you and I feel about our other family members who don't believe. I wonder if that's how you feel about the other students at your high school or college who don't believe in Jesus Christ. Do you care, but they don't believe? Are you impacted by their unbelief? I think a lesson from this text is to be like Amos and practice intercessory prayer for those people. What does that mean? That means praying and interceding on their behalf for their welfare and for their salvation. Lord God, please save such and such and so and so. It's a simple prayer, but it shows that we care. Number three. 3 out of 4. Worship the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us even when we don't know what to pray for. We worship a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's okay to worship the Holy Spirit and pray to the Holy Spirit. We're always taught to pray to God, pray to Jesus, as we should. But we can pray to the Holy Spirit whom Romans 8 tells us intercedes for us with groanings unspoken. Intercedes for us when we don't even know what we ought to pray for. So, you know, and I can only imagine how overwhelmed Amos was at points of this part of when God's communicating this to him. How heavy it was to receive this news, this word. Yet, the Holy Spirit of God interceded and gave Amos this prayer and intercedes for us. So let's be close to the Holy Spirit. Let's walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's worship the Holy Spirit and seek him in prayer. And especially seek him if we don't know what to pray for. And then lastly, this has been a common point of application of pretty much every text. Follow God with sincerity of heart. Follow God with sincerity of heart. One of the big overarching themes of the book of Amos is follow God sincerely. Follow God genuinely. Follow God truly. Because these people here are very religious. They do not have a lack of religion. They have a lack of sincere worship.